Let's continue in our talks from Mark by reading Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Here we have our Lord's well-known parable of the sower. Let's take this portion of Mark 4 and divide it into two sections. The parable, verses 1 through 12, and then the meaning of the parable, verses 13 through 20. And for each section, we'll take a couple of background notes, a doctrinal point, and a practical application. Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea. And the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and said to them in his teaching, Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said to them, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Some background notes for this section. We see in verse 1 that the Lord is using a boat near the shore of the Sea of Galilee as his platform. The crowd would have been gathered along the shore and spread up along the hillside there. The reason the Lord is seen sitting in the boat here is not so much for stability, but this was the position of the teacher in that day, to sit and teach. In verse 2, we read that he taught them in parables. Parables, you know, are common, ordinary, earthly stories, but they have a deeper spiritual meaning. Now, you might wonder why the sower in the parable didn't sow all his seed on good ground. You remember, this is not modern-day seed planting in rows. This was scattering seed from a shoulder strap bag. The seed was scattered by hand, like we do maybe with grass seed in our backyards today. So the wind would then naturally blow some of the seed on the wayside and on stony ground or thorny ground. Another thing you got to keep in mind is that in that day, you sowed the seed and then you plowed the ground. You didn't plow the ground first and then sow the seed. Rather, the seed was scattered and then it was plowed in. The sower wasn't always aware of where the stony ground was or the thorny ground. Well, so much for background. Let's take a doctrinal point. The Lord taught in parables to reveal and conceal truth. The Lord taught in parables to reveal and conceal truth. Verse 11, and he said to them, To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, all things come in parables. And now you have a quote from Isaiah chapter 6, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. The Lord used parables to reveal truth to his followers, but also to conceal truth from the unbeliever. They would be the outsiders that are mentioned here in verse 11. Now, the particular truth that was revealed by the parables, as we see here in verse 11, was the mystery of the kingdom of God. Now, what's that all about? Well, remember, a mystery, by definition, is something concealed in the Old Testament, but revealed in the New Testament. Now, what about the kingdom of God was concealed in the Old Testament, but revealed in the New? Was it that the kingdom of the Messiah would come with power and glory? No, that certainly was revealed in the Old Testament. The mystery that was concealed in the Old Testament was the present form that the kingdom would take. The kingdom still has not yet come in power and glory. But the kingdom is here, and that's the mystery, the present form of the kingdom, the word going out, like a sower sowing seed, only some people being receptive to the word. The kingdom of earthly power and glory remains yet to come in the future. Now, all this truth, while contained in the parables, is concealed from the unbeliever. It's purposely concealed. Why? Because those who reject obvious truth are not given deeper truth. That's the basic meaning of what the Lord is referring to here in verse 12 when he says, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. That's the way it works in God's moral universe. Reject what's obvious and you don't get more to reject. The religious leaders of that day were rejecting his obvious credentials for being the Messiah, and therefore no more truth was revealed to them. And it's the same way today. For example, creation. It's obvious when you look around us that there must be a creator. But if a person purposely rejects that truth, well then further, deeper, more precious truth concerning the kingdom of God is certainly concealed. If a person responds to the truth that God reveals, more truth is revealed. Deeper truth is revealed. Light received brings more light. The Lord taught in parables to reveal and conceal truth. Practical application. Let's not cast our pearls before swine. That comes from Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Our Lord said there, "Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces." Let's not cast our pearls before swine. As the Lord Jesus did not share the deeper truths of his person and his program for his people with the unbelieving, so we need to be careful about sharing the great, deep, and precious truths of the things of God with the unbeliever. You don't share, for example, the great truths of the church as the body and bride of Christ with those who openly reject God and defiantly refuse to consider the claims of Christ. They will trample that truth. They'll trample it under their feet and turn and attack you as well. Let's continue to preach the gospel to these folks, as Christ did, but let's not cast our pearls before swine. Let's now read the section where we have the meaning of the parable of the sower explained. Verses 13 through 20. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure for only a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires of other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100." Some background notes for this section. In verse 13, the Lord gives a mild rebuke to the disciples. Do you not understand this parable? The Lord is saying two things about this parable there in verse 13. First of all, he's saying it's really not that difficult for the believer to understand. But to ensure that the disciples and us did get the meaning, the Lord gave the meaning to this parable. He didn't give the meaning to all the parables, but he certainly gave the meaning to this parable. But another point here is that when our Lord says, "How then will you understand all the parables?" Understanding this parable, the parable of the sower, is basic to understanding the other parables of the kingdom of God. These are basic truths of the form that the kingdom would take now, the word going out. But in most hearts, it doesn't bear fruit. It's only effective in the hearts prepared by the Holy Spirit, the good ground hearers. All right, for our doctrinal point, let's make our doctrinal point the actual interpretation of the parable. The different soils represent different conditions and responses of the human heart to the Word of God. The different soils in the parable represent different conditions and responses of the human heart to the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God, as we see in verse 14. The hard wayside soil represents the hard heart, the indifferent and insensitive type hearers. Notice that Satan, like the birds in the parable, is very effective with the hard-hearted hearer. He's able to snatch the seed away before it can germinate. The rocky ground represents the shallow heart. Emotional enthusiasm at first, but no depth. You know, I've seen people accept the church and the church program into their hearts with enthusiasm, but they don't accept the Lord into their hearts. There's no fruit. And when the least form of persecution comes, they disappear. I've seen young people get involved in Christian ministries because of their friends and excitement. They even come out with enthusiasm to Bible studies, but they never accept the Lord into their heart, and there's no fruit. The thorny ground represents the strangled heart, choked off by anxieties, cares of this world, the love of money, riches, and other interests. As a result, there is no fruit, evidence that there is no true faith. True faith perseveres. True faith bears fruit. And finally, the good ground represents the receptive heart, soil prepared by the Holy Spirit. Proof of the good ground is the fruit that results, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Practical application. Watch out for the big three fruit reducers. Watch out for the big three fruit reducers. What's that all about? Well, as Christians, we're to be involved in fruit production, not fruit reduction. Well, what are these big three fruit reducers? Well, look at verse 19 once again. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. The cares or worries or anxieties of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the love of money, or the desire for other things, pleasures of this world, material things, even good things. Now, wait a minute, you say, I thought we said before that these thorns were what kept a person from Christ. They choked off the effect of the Word of God so that the person never became a Christian. Well, that's right. But it's these very thorns which also keep a Christian from becoming a 100% fruit producer. Those are the three big fruit reducers. Look at your own life. As a Christian, are you a 100% fruit producer? You say no. Why not? Chances are it's from one or more of these fruit reducers. Cares of this world, or deceitfulness of riches, or other things. Well, we all need to be more disciplined in these areas. Watch out for the three big fruit reducers.